So wonderful to be alive today. We are celebrating our feast days. We just did Passover, and we touched a little bit on unleavened bread, about getting rid of the leaven in our life, the pride, the sin. And here we are in First Fruits. How many enjoyed Passover message the other night? Man, that was so powerful. Things you didn't even see yet. Just something new every time. Something that stuck out to me during Passover is Cam's excitement. When that mitzvah was brought back, he took off running. I got the money. I looked at Pastor, I said, that's how we should be. You know, a ransom was paid for us, was bought back for us. Something more precious than that money. And I thought, man, when's the last time I took off running? Tell him, I got the ransom. I would do it right now, but I'm out of shape and I don't have the wind. I can't do it right now. But in a couple months, I've been working out. So just when I get back down to my high school figure, maybe next year I'll take off running. But that stuck out to me because he was excited about that. And that's how as believers we should be excited about what he did for us. So much more than just that $20. My life. He bought back my life. Something I had known that I was dead. He bought that back for me. He loved me that much. And this is what it's all about. Passover commemorating God's deliverance. Now look at this. Hope at Easter celebrate the Savior. People all around the world is flocking to church this morning for that statement. That's what they celebrating. Hope at Easter celebrate the Savior. One of the 4 or 5 times they show up for church is today. And they're talking about, oh, I know, I love him. I have a relationship with him. Then here they go today. They jump right back in it full. Wide open. And the only reason why I brought this out, because I don't want our listeners who we on Facebook or whatever might stream and say, well, look at that. I thought they don't celebrate Easter. I want them to know this is our service. We're not celebrating Easter. I just want to clarify that to our listeners who already think that pastor's leading us astray. And if here we are celebrating Easter or talking about resurrection and not distinguishing it, we're really going to blow their mind. So I just want to clear it up. Easter was incorporated into the Roman Catholic Church at the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD. Just some points that I want to bring out that they can go look and, you know, find out if they need study. This is just for their study. Just something I want to talk about right quick. The truth is that Easter has nothing whatsoever to do with the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, they're giving up, you know, like back to the Lent, because I'm getting a little ahead of myself. But, you know, after they get out of service, after they go into church for a little while this morning or whatever, and then they're going back to, I'm pretty sure you go to these Easter parties after church and it's going to be partying. They're going to be getting it down. Music blaring. Alcohol drinking. The whole nine yards. But you talk about how is that being poor in spirit? If you only going to see him 1 or 4 days a week, how are you letting him know that I need you every day? If I'm only coming to see you 4 days out of the year, 5 days out of the year, whatever it is. You for sure ain't mourning over your sins. Yeah, you gave up maybe 1 for 40 days. What about the others? Mourning over sin is giving them being sorrowful for all of them, not just 1 or 2 for that 40 days. We ain't even start on this one yet, but I can't wait. But you ain't being meekness after that liquid courage getting you. Let somebody bump into you at one of these parties that you're going to be in after church. You will see how much meekness you got. I bet you don't have none. Is it possible to worship Elohim in vain? Matthew 15:7-9. Ye hypocrites, Well, the Esaias prophesy of you, saying, this people draw it nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching the doctrines, the commandments of men. And that's what they've been teaching. Instead of first fruits, they're teaching Easter. They're teaching bunny rabbits, colored eggs. A rabbit don't even lay eggs. So you can't tell me that. You're teaching doctrines and the commandments of men. What you've heard your whole life. That's what you're teaching. Don't never go back to check it out for yourself. And look, some of them teaching first fruits, but it ain't the first fruits that we're talking about. Look, I Googled some to try to find some. Get you a cup of coffee and some bread, because you're going to be there a while trying to find the first fruit that you want. They're going to teach first fruits, but it's going to give me what you got. Give me some money. You say, how you know that? I've been in one of them services. I took my son to one. I had to ask God for forgive me that I put him in that environment. So I know. You get in that big service for 3 days. Boy, and you just see, that's all they talk about. And next thing you know, people's running down to the altar, throwing money. So what I do? I'm a follow suit. Go throw money. Go throw $100. I got to travel back home. Now, I'm miserable and broke traveling back home. Serious. Got about $40. Got invited to this thing, and I went with a friend. Got about $40 to feed me and him and get gas to come home. That's not God. He don't want you to be miserable, and he for sure don't want you to be broke. But that was the most miserable ride coming from Texas. Late at night, I'm tired, and now I'm broke. But first fruits, watch for them wolves in sheep clothing. Oh, and Brother AJ texted me back about that because he must have heard the message. He said it is the footprints. The wolf, you can tell them by their footprints. They might be dressed in the sheep clothing, but it's their footprints. Mark 7:6-7. He answered and said unto them, well had Esaias prophesied of you, hypocrites. Calling them what? Hypocrites. As it is written, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. We need boldness like that. Just call it what it is. They don't like it. Oh, well, it is what it is. Hypocrite. Liar. We quick to call somebody a liar. And we don't even know if they're telling the truth or not. But in this situation, you can't, because you can back it up with the word. How be it in vain do they worship me with teaching for doctrines the commandments of men? Romans 1:18-23. For the wrath of Elohim is revealed from heaven against all wickedness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of Elohim is manifested in them. For Elohim has showed it unto them. Whoa, be careful. Because what it says, because that which may be known of Elohim is manifested in them. For Elohim has showed it unto them, but they still hold the truth to unrighteousness. Even though he said it's manifest, I showed it to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and majesty, so that they are without excuse. He made sure there ain't going to be no excuses. Clearly seen by the things that he made. Because that when they knew Elohim, they glorified him not as Elohim. Neither were thankful. I'm thankful today. I'm thankful for my hope is that I have hope now because he risen for me, for us. Not just for me, for us, for the world. But they have to want it. He wants it. He wants us. And what he wants in return, just for us to love him and to serve him. That's all he wants. but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Became vain in their imaginations. Imagine Easter. Imaginations of a rabbit laying an egg, a colorful egg of that. Imagine that. What an imagination. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And listen to this. This is the scary part. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible Elohim into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. That's dangerous. When you start messing with his glory, the one who holds all the glory, his glory is underived. And you want to change that? First fruits, Leviticus 23, 9 through 14. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest, therefore, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before Yahweh to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it. And ye shall offer that day when ye wave the sheaf, and he lamb without blemish of the first year burnt offering unto Yahweh. So in order for them to be accepted, they had to, the priest had to, they had to wave that in front of the priest in order for Yahweh, the priest had to wave in order for Yahweh to accept them. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2 tenths deals of fine flour mingled with all, an offering made by fire unto Yahweh for a sweet savior. Remember that, because you're gonna see another slide talking about that sweet savior. And the drink offering therefore shall be of wine, the fourth part of a hin. He was very, very, yeah, about how you do it. You know, it just couldn't be, it had to be 2 tenths. Why it couldn't have been a whole or a fourth part of an hen? It's just, it had to be right. It had to be exactly how he wanted it. You couldn't just bring what you want. He wouldn't accept it. And ye shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto your Elohim. It shall be a statue forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. It shall be a statue forever. Forever. What's the definition of forever? Forever. Don't never stop. I'm so thankful that we're doing this from here on forever. As the offerings that were made on the feast of first fruits were a sweet savior to Elohim, how much greater was the sweetness on the day Yeshua rose from the dead? How much greater? Can you imagine that aroma that was pleasing to him? That his son, who laid his life down for us, he rose him from the dead. First fruits is dealing with the resurrection of Yeshua. Has nothing to do with give me all your money and go home sad and go home miserable and go home broke. Has nothing to do with the first fruits that they're talking about. And I promise you, look, go. I dare you. Just go Google it. Go to YouTube and look at all the messages on it. You're going to have to dig to find the first fruits that is talking about the resurrection of Yeshua. Because their first fruits is not ours. Yeshua is the first fruit on Nisan 17. And there's patterns on this. A lot of stuff happened on Nisan 17, deliverance-wise. I didn't put the slides in here, but Noah's ark rested on the mountain. Moses led the Israelites through the Red Sea on Nisan 17. Queen Esther saved the Jews on Nisan 17. Israel entered and ate the first fruit of the promised land on Nisan 17. Go look it up. Go look it up. You'll find it is there, I promise you. Romans 1, 18 through 20. And he is the head of the body, the assembly, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He is the firstborn from the dead. Now, there was others that was risen from the dead in Yeshua's days, but they died again. He's the only one that died once. And Lazarus, Jairus, I think it was his daughter, raised from the dead. Go read it. Go read it. Only one, though. The first fruit among many. Among many. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his stake by him to reconcile all things unto himself by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, through the blood of his stake, he reconciled us. We are reconciled with the Father through his blood. Please the Father to see his. Oh, man. Matthew 16, 21. From that time forth, begin Yeshua to show unto his disciples how they must go unto Jerusalem. How he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again on the third day. And listen, that's another pattern. You want to look up, you want some studying? Third day. Go look up all the third day, things that happen on the third day. Matthew 17, 22 through 23. And while they abode in Galilee, Yeshua said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. Third day, 3 days. So we can lay that to rest. I know us in here is tired of hearing it. Well, not tired of hearing it, but we know. You count Friday to Sunday, you can't get 3 days. It's impossible. And it's another little thing on YouTube. Some man is trying to make you believe that you could. He's got the whiteboard out. He's got markers, all the whole 9 yards. You can't do it. You can't count 3 days from Friday to Sunday. It ain't going to happen. Matthew 20, 17 through 19. And Yeshua, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them. Now he's just taking his disciples. He's taking his disciples. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes. And they shall call and they shall condemn him to death. And shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge. And to impale him. And the third day he shall rise again. And to impale him. Listen. It's not the pretty picture that they paint. He was naked. And let me tell you what they mean by impale. They go up the wrong end. If you know what I mean. They impaled him on a stake. It's not what Hollywood paints. He was naked. Everything showing. Can you imagine your son? Can you imagine that? 1 Corinthians 15. This 1 Corinthians chapter is, I read it. It's powerful. So powerful. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 14. And verses 19 through 23. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the good news, which I preach unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand. by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Messiah died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He died for our sins. Now, if Messiah be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? And people say it. Jews believe there's no resurrection. His own people believe that there was no resurrection. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Messiah not risen? And if Messiah be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. If in this life only we have hope in Messiah, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Messiah risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Messiah shall all be made alive. That's our hope. You talking about hope? Not at Easter, at first fruits, at today, hope? That's our hope. The last Adam, the scripture calls him. But every man in his own order, Messiah the first fruit. Afterward, they that are Messiahs at his coming. That's a qualification right here. Messiah first, after they that are Messiahs at his coming. Job 19:25-26. And this is us if we're in Messiah. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see Lord. I know that my Redeemer liveth, even though this body is going to decay. My flesh shall see Lord. Isaiah 26:19. Thy dead man shall live together with my dead body. Shall they rise? Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is at the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Just like the whale had to cast up Jonah, the earth's going to have to cast us up. It's the same thing. God can't. Ain't no grave going to hold my body down. Woo! Oh, yes. Because my Redeemer liveth. Daniel 12:2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Listen, we're going to be on the side of the everlasting life. That's what we pushing for. That's what we enduring to the end for. On that side, the everlasting life. I'm not rising to shame and everlasting contempt. I can promise you. I will not. Will not. And it's only by his grace that I can say that today. Only by his grace. Because if something would have happened to me years ago, I couldn't have said that. Shame and everlasting contempt. That's what I was facing. So thankful. So thankful for my Savior. In his book, Thus Shall Thou Serve. C.W. Slemming writes this little interesting point. When the sheaves were cut from the fields and carried to the city, there was a small vacant spots were left behind. When Yeshua rose from the dead, he left behind him a small vacant spot, which still remains as a reminder of his resurrection. It is an empty tomb. That small vacant spot as a reminder, that empty tomb. It took the resurrection of Yeshua to make us acceptable to Elohim. Only him. No more animals. No more. He was the last, the red heifer, the last unblemished lamb. He was the Father was done with all those sacrificing of animals for people's sins. I'm going to send one this last time. That's all I'm going to send. Romans 4:25 and 1 Corinthians 15:17. Romans 4:25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Delivered for our offenses, for our sins. Our sins. He who knew no sin and was raised for our justification. 1 Corinthians 15:17-18. And if Messiah be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Messiah are perished. Wow. If he is not raised and our faith is vain, then we are still sinning. We're still in our sins. If he didn't raise. Yeshua's resurrection is a guarantee of our resurrection as long as we belong to him. His resurrection is a guarantee that we will be raised as long as we belong to him. He has been raised and has a new resurrection body, but the same will happen to all that are his at the right time. And that right time is in the return of Yeshua for his bride. 1 Corinthians 15:41-58. Listen, I'm telling you, go read 1 Corinthians 15 from the top to the bottom. It's 61 verses. It's powerful, though. Powerful. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars. For one star different from another star in glory. He didn't make them the same. You think he's so unique that every star has its own glory. Imagine that. Who can do that? Who can do that? Ain't no Big Bang Theory did that. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Going to have your own glory. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown in a natural body. It is raised in a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last man, Adam, the last Adam, was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward, that which is natural, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is of the master from heaven. Let's just clarify that. Adam, the first Adam, yeah, he was earthy. But that second Adam, the master from heaven. As in the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as in the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. When he comes and he raises us, we're going to bear the image of the heavenly. I don't know about y'all. I'm not up in age yet, but things hurt sometimes for me, too. At 40, especially when you're working out, then you got to get up for work. Your legs hurt. Oh. Nikki, rub it. I wish I would. That's what she told me. I wish I would. Oh, but it hurts. But the image of the heavenly, there will be no more hurting, no more pain, no more suffering. This is exciting. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Neither do corruption inherit incorruption. Flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of heaven. Behold, I shew you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now listen, that last trumpet, it says that's Yahweh's trumpet. Can you imagine what his trumpet going to sound like? Oh, it's going to be like something we never, ever heard. It's going to be like a sound you never, ever heard. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. The sting of death is sin. The grave can't hold you, won't be able to hold you. Oh, grave, where is thy victory? But thanks be to Elohim, which giveth us the victory through our Master Yeshua Messiah. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of Yahweh. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in Yahweh. Listen, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of Yahweh. Always abounding in his work. John 20, 15 through 17. Yeshua said unto her, she comes down. She hears that he's not in there. Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Remember that vacant spot that I just mentioned? She see that vacant spot. She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Can you imagine? Didn't even look like him. Because he was beat to unrecognizable. His mama didn't even recognize him. Can you imagine? That was the last image they got of him. And here she is, the woman. And he asks, who are you looking for? She thought he was a gardener. He put on that glory. Yeshua said unto her, Mary? Whoa, now that was a familiar. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Yeshua said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. I didn't go yet. I didn't go wave that sheave yet. Hold on. You can't touch me just yet. I got to go up. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father. And to my Elohim and your Elohim. What he called them? Father and Elohim. Yeshua has a father. And he has a God. My Elohim. That's what Elohim is God. Yeshua was the first fruits of the spiritual harvest, just as the first fruits wave sheaf of the barley harvest was waved before the priest. Yeshua was presented to his father. That's what he was telling them. Don't you can't touch me just yet, because I got to go wave that barley harvest. I got to go wave that wave sheaf. John 20, 24 through 27. Now, this is after. So he spoke to her. Now, you're going to see that. Thomas, the doubter. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Yeshua came. And the other disciples, therefore, said unto him, "We have seen the Master." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see his hands, the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Yeshua, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then said he to Thomas, you think he didn't know what Thomas had said? "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. I'm gonna make you a believer. You want some proof? Here it is. And be not faithless, but believing." Yeshua fulfilled the feast of first fruits by being the first fruits of the resurrection. He fulfilled that. He fulfilled Passover. He fulfilled unleavened bread. He's batting 100. He is batting 100. We have 3 more. And he's going to fulfill them. I don't think he's striking out. I don't think it. If I'm a betting or gambling man, I'm all in. And you know what? I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm going to ride him till he comes. I'm going to stand on his word till he comes. Yeshua fulfilled the feast of first fruits by being the first fruits of the resurrection. And then after that, after he comes back, it's our turn. And I think that was the last of my slides. And it was. But this is an exciting day. I'm excited about today. Not to go paint eggs or to go hunt them. I'm excited for my hope, my hope in that life that he has given me. Amen. So good to us. What a wonder. Thank y'all. Thank y'all so much for coming out and taking and sitting and listening, you know, to the word. And let's apply it to our lives. Don't just be a hearer. Be a doer. Be a doer of his word. And look, be a good Berean. Study. Study the scripture. Study it. Amen. I think we have another song, and Pastor has a mess, something he wants to say.
Hopefully today you would consider that. I was mentioned, I believe, night before that. We've been celebrating Passover and unleavened bread and first fruit. So we started on Thursday, and we're going to go to Thursday. We want to encourage everyone to continue to celebrate. This is an important thing. But unleavened bread is valuable to us because it helps us to see ourselves. Remember, he bore all of our sickness, all our disease, all of our iniquities was on him. He was bruised, the scripture says, for that. I explained the bread. The reason it's leavened is it gets bruised when you're cooking it. It's bruised. It's not some nice loaf that's real fluffy, but it gets bruised. It goes through, it cooks really quick, and it goes through basic torture. And it's not a, it's maybe not what you would call your favorite, but you think about the cost. There was a cost for that. And I want you to think about that today. I want you to think, what did I do this year to celebrate his resurrection? What about the fact that it was God's only son that gave himself for us as a ransom? Think about that. So all throughout this celebration, we started on Thursday, and we've been thinking about these things. And then it was mentioned, I believe it was on maybe Wednesday, it would have been a service just like this. Brother Chad, it was his turn to speak, and he was talking about it was a service just like this 20 years ago when his life was broken, that it was no hope. When you got no hope and your life's broken, you know what you think about? You start thinking about God that you hadn't thought about for a long time. And you thinking about him, and you say, well, I'm just going to go to church. This is it. This is our last straw. We're going to go to church. I don't even know what I talked about that Sunday morning. But I just said this. God's got something he wants to do in your life. We're going to wait for you. I remember seeing them come out their seat, kneel down in an altar. And they figured this out right here. You got to see yourself standing next to God, poor in spirit. Then you got to mourn over your sin. Remember, it's not his sin, it's your sin. We have failed him, we have transgressed him, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But that day made a difference. We don't want to leave here. If you're the Rudolph family, you might be the ones that have that opportunity today. We'll give you a chance. Just like God, we gave them a chance that day. We open up the atmosphere of heaven so you can grab hold to what God has given you. We don't celebrate this and remember this because it's something that happened a long time ago and it did what it needed to do and it can't do anything else. It doesn't matter what you've ever said, done, or been through. If you commit your life to God, your life changes. They're living proof of it. Your life changes. You can't figure it out, but you know, and it's been a work in progress. It's an ongoing work. He's not finished with me, nor is he finished with you. We still got to humble ourselves before him every single day. Every day we need him. When you get up in the morning, what do you say? Lord, I'm up now, and I realize I'm going to need you all throughout this day. I recognize that my weaknesses are always trying to lead my life. Remember what was said? Who's going to lead your life? Is it going to be your flesh? I can tell you the Spirit's willing. The Spirit's the one thing that wants to get you to respond, but the flesh says, don't do it. Don't be embarrassed. Don't do that. Why would you do that? But the Spirit's willing. It's willing. And that's what you got to respond to. You may not understand it. You think they understood what was going on in their life? That's the good thing about God's grace. You don't have to have some theological class, some heavy-duty teaching. You just got to be sensitive to the things of God, sensitive to who he is, and realize when you stand next to him, the only thing you got to do is be poor in spirit. Your posture has to change where you realize I'm poverty stricken. When I compare, you know, it's like if you ever met folks that have a lot of money and you got into a conversation, you wouldn't want to start matching checkbooks. You just take your 100 and go home. Can you imagine matching your checkbook with God? The richest man in the world. If he matched his checkbook with God, he would be poverty stricken. Think about that. I'm telling you today, what God did, he laid his book down And he said, here was what I'm what's worth, eternal life. Here it is. You live forever with me, forever and ever and ever. Nothing can compare to that. Nothing. So we ought to want to serve him. We ought to make it a challenge in our life. We want to live for him. So there are times in our life we don't do that. But today is a day for you to say, you know what? I want to make a commitment. I want to serve him to the best of my ability. Is there anyone here today that says, I'd like to serve him to the best of my ability? Just lift your hands right where you are. I want to serve him to the best of my ability. Not some halfway. I want to serve him to the best of my ability. Keep your hands lifted. Keep your hands lifted. Father, we thank you, Lord, right now. You see every hand that's lifted. You see the commitments that are being made today. We pray, Lord, right now, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, God, that you would touch their lives. They'll never be the same. We thank you that all of this is possible because your only son became first fruits among many. Lord, I'm looking out right now. There's many hands lifted. These are the many. There are many hands lifted all around this world. There are many people, God, that are stepping out in faith and going to serve you. I pray your hand on their lives, safety on their lives. And God, make sure, Lord, that when you instruct us, that the power of your spirit will give us the understanding and the strength to do the right thing. Each one of them, the power of your spirit will give us the strength to do the right thing. Father, I thank you. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Somebody give him thanks. Thank him for it. He's good to us. He is good to us. Thank you, Lord. So, we were going to schedule service for tonight, but there'll be no service tonight. It'll be unleavened bread tonight, tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Continue with unleavened bread. If you're going to meet with folks, encourage them to talk about Scripture, read the Scripture. Thursday night, our men are going to get together. So all the men that are here, we invite all of you to come for Thursday. And we're going to be meeting here at the church. So Thursday night is our men's get together. And we're going to just give God praise for it. So I want to thank everyone for participating. I was very pleased with the participation we had since Thursday on to this day. And we're going to continue that. But listen, it's one time a year that you observe Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. One time a year. He said it's an appointed time, and we observe that. You ought to take pleasure in it. Yeah. It ought to be a time that you just get excited. And, of course, there are many other feast days that we get to participate in, and we're excited about them all. But this is the first one. It's the start of a brand new year. It's the season to give celebration and thanks to the Lord. And I want to thank him for it. So thanks to all of you for being here. We appreciate everyone for doing all the stuff you did. Even those that stayed late last night to put all the chairs back, pick all the other tables and chairs up. So it can't be done unless there's a group of people working together. And it happened. I want to say thanks to all of you. Thanks to everyone that helped. Brought food, made bread, all of those things are important. Decorate it. We thank God for you. We appreciate you for doing that.